Welcome to The Deep End with Mark Kleinschmidt. Today I have two Orange County residents who are on their way to Philadelphia because they are representing Orange County and all North Carolinians at the Democratic National Convention. And to make it fun and interesting, I have one delegate who is representing Bernie Sanders and one person who's representing Hillary Clinton, which I suppose is perfect because here in Orange County, if you all remember back in March, we participated in the North Carolina primary and Orange County split almost directly down the middle. About half of our residents voted for Bernie Sanders. He was their preferred candidate, and Hillary Clinton was the preferred candidate for the other half. Today, we're going to talk to, as I said, a delegate representing both segments of the party, and hear about their preparations for the convention and what they're doing to get ready for Philadelphia. So here in the studio with me today, I have Matt Hughes, who is ready for Hillary, right, Matt?
I'm very ready for Hillary.
And Matt, you. This isn't your first time involved with politics. You have an important role here in Orange County.
Yes. So I'm the chair of the Democratic Party here in Orange County, and this is not my first convention. I went to the convention down in Charlotte 4 years ago with you. You were a delegate that year as well.
Back then, of course, there was no controversy
because
we all represented one person, right?
Yes. So almost all the delegates in North Carolina who went down to Charlotte were pledged to President Obama. So this is a different process where there was a contested primary, and there's delegates for more than one candidate. And so it will probably give a little bit of a different flavor to our delegation.
Well, I'm sure somewhat a different flavor, certainly since from 12, because I remember you've been Orange County Democratic Party chair for how long? Forever?
For 20 years? For almost 6 years.
6 years now. Now, how is it that you weren't able to secure all of Orange County's delegates for Hillary Clinton?
Well, you know— We tried, I guess you could say. In the 4th congressional district level, Hillary had 5 delegates that were to be elected in Orange County, and it ended up getting 4 of those 5. So that was pretty good, and I think it came down to the fact that Orange County was really voting as a block.
So you're a delegate from the district,
from
right?
From the district, right.
Okay.
So,
and how many delegates are representing the 4th district?
So overall, there are 8 delegates representing the district, 5 that are pledged to Hillary Clinton, and 3 that were pledged to Senator Sanders, and that was based on the results in the 4th district.
Okay, well, but of course, Orange County did not vote in that proportion for Hillary Clinton. Her primary opponent, Bernie Sanders, got almost half the votes. And we have here in the studio one of a delegate who's actually going to be there supporting Bernie Sanders. And that's Jeff DeLuca. And everybody might know Jeff because he used to work with me in the mayor's office for many years. Now, Jeff, how did you get roped into being a Bernie bro?
Well, I've been a strong supporter of Bernie Sanders now for, over a decade. When I was becoming involved at a very young age. I was knocking doors for John Kerry when I was 13 years old. And after that election, the continued escalation of the Iraq War in particular was really motivating me to stay involved. And one of those voices that was really speaking out against the escalation of that conflict was Bernie Sanders. And I would just see him on C-SPAN or on the Sunday shows. Actually, he wasn't even a senator yet. He was still a congressman.
You're probably the only 13-year-old in America who knew who the congressman from Vermont was.
That's probably true.
Because there's only one congressman from Vermont.
Right.
And you knew who he was.
I did.
Yeah. And it's not because you lived in Vermont.
No.
Where were you when you're in?
South Florida.
Down in South Florida. That's amazing that you could you were that plugged in. So it's not. Well, I guess it's not that surprising then, all these years later, that you're ready to go represent Bernie. How did you get the position of becoming a delegate? Obviously, you weren't listening to Matt, your party chair.
No, I. So I am a PLEO delegate.
What's that? PLEO.
PLEO. PLEO. It stands for Party Leader or Elected Official. I'm not an elected official, but I am a party leader. I'm the LGBT caucus chair of the Young Democrats in North Carolina. So that qualified me to run. On that block, there are, I believe, 13 PLEO delegates.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
For the whole state?
For the whole state. And I believe it was about Hillary got 7 of them and Bernie got 6. And I ran for one of those slots, and I was I'm really grateful that I was slotted as a favored candidate by the Bernie campaign, and I was elected at the state convention last month.
And just so that everybody knows, I was actually a delegate to the state Democratic convention where I got to vote for you.
Yes.
To get that seat, which is kind of exciting.
And it's a little weird, the difference between the state level and the district level, because at the district level, the delegates to the congressional district convention split based on who they supported in the primary, or I guess who they want to declare support for that day, if there's someone they want to vote for.
Right.
So only those who were pledged to Secretary Clinton could vote for the Clinton delegates. Only those who were pledged to Senator Sanders could vote for the Sanders delegates, and they'd have to get in their caucuses, and there's multiple candidates and whatnot. But at the state level, all the delegates vote for all of the delegate candidates for the national convention, and there's only two people for each race. So it's different. In fact, I feel like it's a little bit more orderly at the state level because you can kind of figure out what's going on, and everyone has the ability to weigh in. So,
well, the district convention, I mean, it was a zoo. I mean, there were how many people running to be Hillary delegates?
I believe there were 40 for Hillary, and then there was probably about 30 or so for Senator Sanders.
Wow, and you got to be one. That was great. And Orange County really ended up doing well, and we're sending a relatively large number, aren't
we? Yeah, we're sending five of the I can't remember how many, 120 delegates, yeah. I think we have. Five of them will come from Orange County. Six if you include Congressman Price.
Wow, that's fantastic.
And the state convention was kind of an opportunity for both sides, I think, to work towards some shared interests and some other interests that were in play in terms of diversity of the delegation in general, both along race and gender, but also youth and sexual orientation and gender identity, which, you know, Matt and I both have contributed to.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure this is one of the most diverse delegations, if not the most diverse delegation that we've ever sent to the Democratic National Convention in recent memory.
I certainly think so. I know last time we elected a transgender delegate for the first time. This year we have two transgender delegates, both committed to both of the candidates. So one's Senator Sanders, one's for Secretary Clinton. And then also nearly 40% of our delegation is under the age of 36.
So that's, wow.
That's quite an accomplishment.
That is, particularly since Hillary actually won the state, and we understand that. And I think conventional wisdom is that young people are overwhelmingly supporting or have supported Bernie Sanders, and so in that regard, Jeff, you're kind of the typical Bernie supporter. But and Matt, you're a little different. Maybe it's because you've been with the party for so long and been such an active, played such an active role.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, in some ways, I think when we look at our delegation, a lot of the people who are young, like myself and Jeff, but we're supporting Secretary Clinton, have a long history in the party. And
well, when we come back,
okay,
let's talk about what's going to actually happen when you get to Philadelphia. So we'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back to The Deep End. I'm Mark Kleinschmidt, and I'm here in the studio today with Matt Hughes, a delegate to the Democratic National Convention supporting Secretary Clinton, and with Jeff DeLuca, also a delegate to the Democratic National Convention, prepared to vote for Bernie Sanders. As we're speaking here in the studio, we're a few days ahead of you taking off. When folks are listening to this, you're going to be on the road.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering, how are you preparing for this? I mean, this was a really contested primary season. I mean, Bernie and Hillary were at each other's throats, and I think it was a surprise to a lot of us that Sanders was as strong as he was. And what do you expect this convention? How do you expect this convention to play out? Are we going to see that acrimony on the floor? What's going to happen, Jeff? What are you prepared to do as the Sanders kind of? I don't know. You're the insurgency here.
Yeah. Well, as I prepare to go up to Philly, I've been reflecting on the many victories that Bernie and the campaign were able to secure, particularly on the platform committee. The Democratic Party platform is going to be the most progressive document that we've ever passed. And I think it, you know, there's a lot of talk about whether the platform really matters or not. But one thing that I think does really matter about it is that it is a barometer for how the party leadership is listening to the grassroots. And in far more cases than I ever expected, we secured really great, strong victories that will hopefully be pursued.
What kind of victories? I mean, what are the achievements that this that are going to be reflected in this platform?
Well, a couple of the big ones. We got a plank in there about abolition of the death penalty, reclassifying marijuana from a Schedule I substance.
There's something about, yeah, I'm sure, about the minimum wage.
The minimum wage, yes, $15 an hour minimum wage. I had a list of about 26 different things.
And you're going to fight for whenever you get up there.
We're going to fight for. But, you know, it's looking like we're not going to have to fight too hard to make sure that those things are secure. You know, the big one that we didn't get that's still, I think, a point of contention for a lot of people is the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And the reason for that being, you know, Secretary Clinton has come out against it. And I'm personally very confident that she is against it. But the president's for it. It's one of his priorities. And the party doesn't want to, quote unquote, embarrass him by putting something directly contradictory to his policies in it. I understand that. I disagree with it, but I understand it.
Is that right, Matt? I mean, you were an Obama delegate 4 years ago. How important is it that this platform doesn't embarrass the president? Who, I mean, he's a lame duck. He's going to be out in 7 months.
Well, that may be true. And I was the chair of the platform committee for the North Carolina Democratic Party, and this is something that we came up against when we were considering resolutions for the state party. And I think it is something to be sympathetic to. It's something that I am sympathetic to because he is the leader of our party. And yes, he's in office for the next 7 months, but he is the titular head of the Democratic Party now. In some ways, that shifts once Secretary Clinton accepts the nomination, and she kind of assumes that role, whether that's unofficial or not. And so I can certainly see why some folks would not want to. And that was always the point of contention that I've seen. Even with folks who disagree with the Trans-Pacific Partnership, they don't want to embarrass the—
But do you really think that Secretary Clinton is against the Trans-Pacific Partnership? I mean, Jeff just said he's confident she, in fact, is. I tell you, personally, I'm not as confident. I don't think I could have said that, what Jeff just said. Do you really think that she's against that?
I personally trust and believe Hillary Clinton when she says things like that. And if she has evolved on the issue of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which did begin negotiations when she was Secretary of State.
But and she called it the gold standard.
If it met those criteria at the time, and it appears as though it is not meeting what her personal criteria are for what a good trade partnership would be and what that would take.
And the reason I believe it is because of the Clinton record on trade, not despite it. You know, the Bill Clinton signed NAFTA into law.
Right.
Secretary Clinton continues to defend that agreement. I just don't see it as whether or not she does ultimately support the Trans-Pacific Partnership or not. I think it's clear that it's become something that when she becomes president, it's not something she's going to want to spend political capital on. So I'm comfortable with where things stand on that.
All right, you agree, Matt?
Yeah,
I think that's right.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it. Well, so right now, as we're recording this, the Republicans are in Cleveland having their own party. Unusual kind of party. It's not a convention that Republican convention I've of any kind like I've ever seen before. And last night, Scott Baio and the underwear model Antonio Sabato Jr. Were featured speakers. Interesting choice of speakers. So who are you looking forward to? Is it going to be an underwear model at the DNC?
I don't think Channing Tatum's going to be there, but. You know, there's a lot of speakers. I don't think the full list is out yet in terms of who our speakers are going to be. We know President Clinton's going to be, President Bill Clinton will be one of them, and President Obama, Vice President Biden, First Lady Michelle Obama. But the full list has not been revealed yet, and I think part of that could be not wanting to give fodder for divining who the vice presidential nominee might be.
Right.
But I know that we do expect a lot of those heavy hitters just about every night of the week. And then we have some other speakers that will be very, very good to have on the stage, like the mother of Trayvon Martin and, mm-hmm. and others who have, you know, seen their lives cut short for various reasons, whether it's been, because of law enforcement officers who maybe were too quick to judge the situation, like Tamir Rice in Ohio, I believe it was, or someone like a George Zimmerman out there. So I'm excited for what we know is the convention lineup just now, but I'm sure it will begin to evolve more steadily.
It's so striking to me the difference in the problems that are facing scheduling the Republican convention and scheduling the speakers for the Democratic convention. They couldn't get anybody of note to speak at the Republican convention. And our problem is going to be, how are we going to fit all these different heavy hitters and give them the time that they deserve?
Well, at the Republican convention, there was a lot of talk about all lives mattering and blue lives mattering. And actually some comments that diminish the Black Lives Matter movement. How is that going to play out at the DNC in Philadelphia?
Well, I think that it comes down to really what Secretary Clinton said the other day, and what President Obama has said recently as well, is that Black lives do matter. And when you say that, it doesn't diminish, you know, law enforcement. It doesn't diminish these other groups. But you do have to take care of the systematic issues that really face our minority communities, including when it comes to policing. And that's something that you have to focus on. And I think that's something that our convention will be doing.
Well, let's dive into the deep end of state politics after this message. And we'll come back and we'll talk about what you guys are leaving behind here in North Carolina. We're back. This is Mark Kleinschmidt, and you're listening to The Deep End. And we have dived into the deep end with Matt Hughes and Jeff DeLuca, who are both headed off to the DNC, and they're leaving us alone back here in North Carolina to have to deal with the politics as they are while they take a week off in Philly. We're in the middle of, you know, all eyes, really, I guess you could say, are on North Carolina, not only because we're a swing state and Trump and Clinton are polling right at even as we speak. And we have this gubernatorial race where you might see the second governor in a row here in North Carolina to be turned out as they seek for re-election. I mean, of course, Purdue just chose not to do it, but we all knew where that was headed. How about the forecast for us, since you two are so plugged in politically, about who's going to be in the governor's mansion come December 2016? What do you think, Jeff?
I think it's going to be Roy Cooper.
Now, that's just your, of course, you're a Democrat, so you're going to say that. But
looking at the dynamics of the race, you know, the second quarter fundraising reports just came out.
Yeah.
And I think it's for the third quarter in a row, Roy Cooper has outraised Pat McCrory. He outraised him by,
$2 million.
Yeah, about $2 million. He's got more cash on hand. You never want it to be that way when you're an incumbent. Roy Cooper was reelected in 2012 with the most votes of any Democrat.
Reelected in 2012 with the most votes of any Democrat, despite not having a Republican opponent. You know, the Republicans did not field a candidate against Roy Cooper in 2012.
Right.
So his last race facing a Republican incumbent or a Republican candidate was 2008. And even then he had some of the—
I mean, do we even remember who Roy Cooper ran against in 08? I have no memory of it. At all. You know,
I think I know. I think he was an attorney from Greensboro, but I think that's all I remember from that race.
Okay, so you're unanimous in seeing that Cooper, and given your political views and mine as well, I mean, I guess I'd probably put my thumb on the scale and go with Cooper as well. But one thing I'm sure of is he's not going to have a democratically dominated General Assembly to work with, no matter how blue dog Democrat you are. You know that's not going to be true. But how much, if any, headway are the Democrats going to make in the General Assembly this year? Jeff, you've worked on legislative races in the past. Do any of your former employers have a chance to take some seats?
I'm very confident, particularly on the House side, which is where we need to pick up those four seats to make sure that we have we can sustain vetoes. There's probably about 10 races or so that appear that they could be very competitive, and we only need to win four of them. Hopefully we'll get more and have some wiggle room.
Well, I think we only need to win four in terms of numbers. You know, where can we—
What would that four
things?
Do, Matt?
That four would essentially allow us to withstand gubernatorial vetoes. You have to have a 3/5 majority. If we get four seats, that drops the Republicans below that three— or 3/5 majority, I'm sorry, the 3/5 majority. But there's some problems in that. As we know, not that long ago, there were some Democrats that would come over and help the Republicans with some of Purdue's vetoes. So we need probably more than four seats.
Yeah, I think a lot of Democrats feel a little more comfortable if there were a few more than four. And is Cooper's role as Attorney General, is he going to get replaced with his former employee, Josh Stein, local Chapel Hill kid, Josh?
I personally think so. I think Josh is also running a very strong campaign. He also has a lot of the numbers on his side in terms of fundraising and some other things. But one of the things that we also have to be aware of in the gubernatorial race and the attorney general's race is when it looks tight for the Republican, outside groups will jump in.
Yeah, and we've already heard that they're going to come in. National PACs are ready to jump in the attorney general's race. Well, thank you both for joining me today. We're all excited about you representing Orange County up in Philadelphia. We're going to be listening to you and what's going on down the floor here. WCHL is going to carry coverage of the convention from 8 to 11 all four nights. And so we hope to hear you. Thanks again for coming and dive into the deep end with me. Have a great trip.
Thank you for having us.